Hello, bitches and hoes and different area codes.
Oh, hi.
And welcome to the November 18th edition of Deadbeat Radio. I'm Uncle Bill.
And I'm a creepy Kentuckian, if you will. If you will, if you will.
Aren't you excited to hear from us again?
That's right, buddy. We're the original ballers and shock callers of Horror Talk Radio, back again to bring you some of that creamy horror talk goodness that we've brought for over 6 years now, almost.
We've been digging ditches and smacking bitches here in Eastern Kentucky for years on end. So
that's true.
That's just how we are.
Hey, even though horror is the genre itself is almost entirely dead, we're continuing on with this fucking show because that's how we do it, buddy. We don't quit.
We're not even really doing it anymore for the horror genre itself. We're doing it for ourselves because we want to.
Yeah, we're doing it to make money, to make our millions and millions of dollars off of the horror fans.
I don't know if you know this or not, but whenever we stop doing this show, we just take out all the money that the fans have sent to us over the years and just roll around in on the floor.
Yeah.
That's all we do.
I'm going to fuck it.
He butt fucks the money. He really does.
I'm going to put it into a jar and fuck it.
He jams it down his flashlight and humps on it.
Then I'm going to go spend it after I've fucked it. That's what I do. Because we are all about the money. And the weather itself, though, is getting a little bit frightful now.
The weather outside is frightful.
Yeah.
It's going to be about 19 degrees. But that brings up an interesting point that we should talk about.
Yeah!
It's 19 degrees outside.
It is 19 degrees out.
And
it's not 19 degrees out. It's pretty cold.
No, it's going to be 19 degrees. Yeah. That's what the temperature is supposed to get to tonight, actually.
Yeah.
And on the way down here, we drove past the Strand where we actually did the very first successful midnight screening.
That's right. We sold that sumbitch out.
In October.
Sold it out.
And there is a line of people. And keep in mind, it's already just what?
Well, it was like, when I went by there, it was 6:30. It was 6 o'clock when I went by there.
Okay. So, there's a line of people sitting out in the cold in front of the Strand. Probably about 5 or 6 people, I'd say.
Yep.
For the, I'm assuming it's for the Twilight.
Breaking Wind.
Film.
Edward.
Jacob.
What's even funnier about this is, and people probably don't know this, they're going by there and like, oh, it's the Twilight movie. They're waiting to get in and shit like that. They're waiting to get their ticket. No, you can pre-order the tickets. You could have pre-bought the tickets. So odds are, those dumbasses out there are just waiting so they can be the first to actually get in the fucking theater when it opens. Like, I don't know why they give a fuck that much, but yes, that is the case.
So the people that I saw, this is the funniest part about this to me, the group of people that was waiting was not what I would expect. It was not like 13, 14-year-old girls. It was like 40, 50-year-old women that had like those chairs you set up at football games and stuff that have the beverage holders in them. They were the ones that were sitting there like waiting to get in.
Well, they masturbate to teenagers as well, evidently.
It's like, I would feel bad, man. Seriously, if me being like 30 years old, 31 years old now, if I went into a fucking like, it was waiting in line for like, let's say a Care Bears movie or something like that, I'd feel a little bit out of place. It's kind of the same thing. Like, you got a bunch of 50-year-old women waiting in line to watch.
You probably will be doing that here in a couple of years, though.
Yeah, if I didn't have a kid is what I'm saying. Like, if I was just there.
I want to tell you a story, Uncle Bill. And I've never let this out before, but you know it and a couple other people know.
Yeah, I already know.
I got dragged into seeing one of the Twilight movies a couple years ago now, I guess. It was at a 2 a.m. showing, okay? I have never, ever felt more out of place in all my life than when I went to that shit.
Really? Not even that time you came up to the NICU?
To the, oh.
The ICU and the nurse was like, holy shit, sign in, bitch!
No.
Okay.
I was way more out of place. Because, a bunch of 13, 14-year-olds in fucking pajamas stand in line to go in there and see this movie. And I'm standing there thinking, why the fuck am I actually going to see this? Because at that point in time, I didn't even know what the fuck it was.
That's why you were going to see it.
I didn't even know what the fuck it was. I really didn't. Like, the first one, this was, I guess, the second one. And I'd never seen the first one up to that point. And I was like, It's just one of those situations. I know you've been in it before too, where you're like, okay, I'm just going to do this. And you're like,
it's like having a root canal.
But
done.
Never again.
Yeah. You just sitting there and you know you're going to have to endure a large amount of pain, but you just have to kind of go through it.
And it's like, I actually, believe it or not though, like I did get some type of enjoyment out of watching the movie just for the fact that it was so, it was seriously like a B movie. Like those movies, that the second one was. And, you know, with the wig and shit like that, the guy's got this really horrible wig and he turns into the dog, the big dog thing.
Yeah.
But the crowd that were going to see it, man, they just made me feel really smart in there. I'll just say that. Like, it's probably some of the lowest common denominator. Well, not really say that, but just stupid little kids mainly is who's the ones going to see it. Shit.
I honestly, though, think I must be getting old because I really have a hard time understanding the whole pajamas trend amongst teenagers.
It's because
like,
I can be comfortable.
Who the fuck was thinking that that would be a good idea? Just, all right, from now on. Like, how did they come up with that? From now on, to look cool, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to keep our fucking pajamas on when we go out. We're not going to change it.
Look
how
cool I am. I have to wear my pajamas.
I'm so cool, I don't even give a shit about how I look. That's how cool I am.
Yeah, but it was 2 a.m., so maybe they just did just get out of bed and come
down there. Yeah, they may have. I remember one time, this is no shit, we were in Walmart in Paintsville, which is like one of the super Walmarts around here, and it was just Jess and I, and I was like, there's this fucking line that was in the electronics department going from like the back to the front where the checkout counter is, and I was like, what in the fuck are all these people? Because they were just standing there, like in this line where the CDs and stuff were, and it was like 40 teenage girls and one man, like it was probably about 40 years old, all standing in this line. I'm like, what in the hell's going on? And they were like, well, this is the night that they released what was the last Twilight movie, I guess. Like, they released it at the fucking store, and people were standing in line waiting on it.
Okay. I've never, ever understood that shit. Like, what is the big deal? Like, people camping out to get the fucking Star Wars DVDs and shit, too. Like, are they seriously going to race back home to see if they can be the first person in the fucking United States to watch it on DVD or something? Like, who cares? Goddamn, like, can you not wait? You know.
It's like waiting to get kicked in the balls. Like, I can't wait! Come on!
Yeah, but even if you're a big fan of something, like, you know, me, like, I'm a big wrestling fan and stuff like that. But if there's, like, some big Blu-ray sets coming out, I'm fine with waiting a week or 2 weeks or whatever to see it. I don't care. Like, it's not like some big thing where, oh, God, I gotta have it now! You can get it, and I'm going to fucking get it now!
I don't get it either. I guess, like, even us being, like, huge collectors of things, like Blu-rays and posters and DVDs and stuff, I've never really been huge on pre-ordering shit either, and I've never really been. I don't think I've ever waited in a line for in a store.
Well, I mean, if it's something that I know that we're not going to get in this area, I'll pre-order it.
I've never even done that. I don't know. I just always assume that it'll probably just come back around at some point.
Some shit's just not going to be in fucking Walmart though.
Well, that's the thing though. Eventually, almost everything ends up in Walmart being like $5 at some point. I've noticed
Cannibal Holocaust,
$8 something like that. Well, no, you probably won't see Cannibal Holocaust down there. But what I'm saying is...
No, the thing that I've noticed, though, like, lately, and I think we talked about it with Felcher last week, and we will get into the news here in just a second, because we do have an action-packed edition of Dead Pit, where we're giving thanks to the horror genre.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart anymore, like, when something comes out, if you don't get it within the first week or two, it's gone. Like, I don't know where what they do with it, but it's not there. Like, have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Like, they just don't dedicate the space like they once did.
I don't know why that is either. I don't think they're getting a whole lot of product.
But as far as the first day and wait until 12 o'clock to get the new Harry Potter or whatever the fuck it is.
Well.
Like, I've just never, ever understood that. I've never had an interest in doing something like that. And I just don't get it. I mean, it's one of those things.
Well, I think I don't get Twilight the most, though, because those movies are fucking god-awful. They're not even, like, on a drama CW network kind of way. They're not even good. I mean, I understand that people don't watch them for the horror aspect of it, but they're not even really good movies anyway.
Yeah. But if you do want to experience Twilight, I would recommend experiencing it with the Dead Pit Drunken commentary that we did.
That's
which
true.
Seems to be one of the... one of the fan favorites. And, you know, people have asked us if we're ever going to do another Twilight movie, like a drunken commentary over another Twilight movie. I think if we did that, we'd probably have to get some acid or something.
Yeah, I'd have to be completely blown away. We'd have to get some.
There's a lot of other. Yeah, I think there's a lot of other bad movies that we could do better drunken commentaries over than that shit, because it was just.
We actually watched one of them that would have been an excellent movie to do a drunken commentary.
That's actually one that we're going to be reviewing this week. We might as well talk about the stuff we're going to review. From Anchor Bay Entertainment, the new Blu-ray release of the long-awaited Howling sequel. Believe it or not, it's a sequel, I believe. But it really has nothing to do with any other Howling movie, so it could be considered a remake as well, I guess. Or a re-envisioning, whatever the hell they're calling them now.
It's a reimagining.
The Howling Reborn, brought to us by Joel Niemczycki, which that guy's got a massive amount of talent.
He's the last Niemczycki. Oh, anyway. Also, though, it has nothing to do with the show, and a lot of people always get pissed off when they do this.
It's professional wrestling talk, though. Yeah. People love that.
But it should be a lot of fun. And this is Card Subject to Change, which is a pro wrestling documentary about the independent wrestling circuit.
We're card is subject to change.
It's going to change tonight.
So we got all that stuff a little bit later on. We're also going through some fan mail questions later on as well. And I believe Uncle Bill, Jesco is going to be joining us for the
be
special.
Be a satellite, yeah.
Yeah. She thinks she's sort of a big deal. Now, she's too big to come down here and actually do the show.
Yeah, we're going to get her on closed circuit.
We're going to have to call her and get her opinions on, you know, what she has thanks to give this year. Because it is Thanksgiving coming up. And we have never done a show the week of Thanksgiving, so this year's not going to be any different.
So we're going to do it. We're going to do it right, and that's all there is to it.
So I hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving. I'm actually getting a
regular stuff you birds.
I'm actually getting a regular bird and a smoked bird.
Are you going to stuff in birds?
I'll let somebody else stuff my bird. So anyway, some news this week. I did scrounge up a few news stories. One that I know that you might want to talk about, since I haven't actually seen any episode of the new season of The Walking Dead. This season, producer Gail Ann Hurd said it is ending in a bit of a spectacle. Go big or go home, she said. I'm going back to the production this weekend. We're shooting episode 13, which Ernest Dickerson is directing, confirming that the season 3 has indeed been given a green light. Says we've been thinking about story direction for season 3, and AMC wanted to hear some ideas, Uncle Bill. So there you go.
Yeah, because somebody else actually asked us a question in the fan mail section about Walking Dead, too. I'm actually starting to really, I don't want to say dislike it, but I'm starting to really have some problems with the direction that this season is taking. Like after the first, it's about five or six episodes in. It's like, it's turned into a fucking pure drama where the
soap
first,
opera
the first season was like action and like adventure and much more like, almost like a 28 Days Later kind of feel to the way that the story. This has just been slower than shit. It's like one thing right after another, and just this drama, soap opera-ish kind of stuff. And I'm just, at this point, I'm like, God damn, you're past halfway through the season now. It's about time to actually start doing something and not just showing a bunch of people talking and going on about this and that. And it's just, I don't know. I'm having a real problem getting into it as much as I did last year.
Yeah, I mean, there's, I think the problem with some of these shows like that where they don't have, I'm not familiar with the graphic novel and stuff. Like, I haven't read through all of it, but it seems to me like they're really just, it seems like they want to prolong this series, you know, and just bank off of the success. But the thing is, like, if there isn't anything significant that happens in the series itself, like nobody's going to watch it.
Well, there doesn't seem, that's the thing. This year there doesn't seem to be any real structure to the show. Like, I'm sure they're going someplace with all this stuff, but you'd never know it by watching, like, the last six. It's just all over the place, and it's really, you just end up not giving a shit about what's going on or what's going to happen. And I don't know if that's where Darabont bowed out of it, if that had anything to do with it, where they were just, like, at a loss for what to do with the show, or if, I don't know what it is, but it is completely different this year in my mind than it was last year, and not in a good way either.
Yeah.
I tried to stay with it. The first three or four episodes, I thought, well, this is really building up to something that's going to be awesome. And then you're just like, no, it ain't building up to shit. It's just going to keep going on and on and on.
That's right. So,
anyway.
And the thing is, like, I've noticed, at least, where I haven't really watched it, but, like, the first couple episodes, people were really talking about it on Facebook and shit. And then, like, anymore, you don't see
anything.
What are
you going to talk about? There ain't nothing going on. There's nothing happening.
Nobody's really putting it over anymore.
The Evil Dead remake. It says Bruce Campbell visited the TV Guide set to mostly talk about Burn Notice. I don't know why, but he also was asked about the upcoming remake. And he said, we are going to remake the original, and people are a little iffy about that. We wanted to remake a movie that would have better effects. We're better at telling stories now, and so we found a younger filmmaker, Fede Alvarez, who is from Uruguay, who is going to direct the thing. There's no Ash character in it. That pisses people off because, like, how can you have Evil Dead without Ash? We didn't want to have the direct comparison. He says, you put Ash and all those characters in it, and I guess they go, oh, that guy was okay. I wouldn't want to put an actor in that position. When pressed for details about a possible cameo, he seemed reluctant to say he's definitely doing one. Yeah. This just has all the earmarkings of being shit.
The Evil Dead.
You got a guy from Uruguay directing it, so you know he's going to have that hyper-kinetic style that tries to rip off Sam Raimi. But
a different approach, too, where the female is going to be, they're going to try to detox her off of drugs or something, the lead female in it. So they're going to, like, at first think that she's, like, detoxing off of shit, but she's really possessed.
Yeah, that's going to be a good idea right there. I really don't get
it. I don't know if that's true or not, but I saw somebody post that on the message board. So
I really don't understand why, though, they want to remake that movie if you're not going to have anything in that movie that resembles the old movie. Like, nobody really even knows about The Evil Dead that much. Like you were saying a while back, it's not a movie that is like Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday 13th.
Yeah, where
the
name, like, people don't recognize the name.
So basically, they're just going to take a movie that nobody knows the name of, remake it completely differently than the original movie. So who are they making that movie for then?
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see, but I don't really have high hopes for it.
I got a spoiler for you. It's going to be shitty.
Something else that I wanted to mention real quick, too, I thought was kind of weird. There's another movie adopting the name Don't Go in the Woods.
All right.
It will be opening nationwide video on demand on December 26th with a limited theatrical run beginning January 2012, gearing up for the release. They have a theatrical trailer online right now. You going to go watch it?
Yeah.
Just don't go in the woods.
I don't think it has anything to do with that movie.
Probably not, but it's got a good name.
Don't go in the woods, bitch.
Don't go in the woods. But the movie itself says, don't go in the woods is sound advice, especially when there is a killer on the loose. First-time director Vincent D'Onofrio, Full Metal Jacket and Law and Order Criminal Intent, explores love, greed, and ruthlessness in this twisted musical-slash-horror hybrid, telling the story of a young band who heads into the woods to get away from their everyday lives in order to focus on writing new songs, hoping to walk away from the trip with new tunes that will score them their big break. But instead, they find themselves in the middle of a nightmare beyond comprehension.
Don't go into the woods.
Don't go into the woods. Don't go into the woods. That's right.
Don't you go.
Yeah. Holler. That's your boy.
Vincent D'Onofrio has... He was actually an amazing actor at one time. Now he's doing fucking Law and Order.
He's doing Law and Order, but that's a steady job because
that is a steady job. You'll never be out of work.
Yeah, you'll always be on the USA Network.
Yeah, you'll have 30 seasons of that shit though.
So, But anyway, we're going to take a break right now, Uncle Bill. We've been talking for fucking 20 minutes.
Yeah, we have.
And I've got to go take a massive shit. So we'll be back after this break here on Dead Beer.
Dot Kim.
You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe. The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of them, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opsie, he's busy cranking out some of the most high quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check him out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
Hey y'all, you're listening to Death Pit Radio. You keep listening, or I'll come over there and put my boot all up in your ass.
So anyways, we're back. Hi.
I'm back, motherfucker. How you doing?
I'm all right. You're getting a little bit irritated. You need to settle down over there.
I need some Lortab. You
need to take your Xanax bar and you'll be all right.
Sick of dealing with people, though.
So, let's talk about Rob Zombie's Lords of Salem movie real quick, since that's going to be awesome. It says that they've just wrapped production in Salem, Massachusetts, and are picking up tomorrow in Los Angeles. And Rob Zombie apparently wrote, "And so it ends. Today is the last day of filming on the Lords of Salem. Thank you to all of Salem that helped to make this film possible. See you at the movies." He said, "We are not done yet, just done in Salem. Tomorrow we head back to L.A. to continue working on the film." He says, "You'll find behind..."
He
said, "Yeah!" He says, "You'll find behind-the-scenes photos from the final day of production and another official teaser images." I'm assuming this is on his Facebook or...
I found it violently.
Did you? He says, "The story is about a local DJ who mistakenly unleashes a hellish curse on the town 300 years earlier in the very streets of Salem that the townspeople walk on today. Innocent folks were rounded up from their homes, convicted of being witches, and deemed to death. The Lords of Salem ran the town with an iron fist, but four witches who were tortured and killed in secrecy vowed that one day they would be back for revenge."
Sid Haig's in this movie, yeah!
His wife's in it too, I guarantee it.
Bill Mosley, yeah!
He's got the guy from Welcome Back, Carter in it.
Welcome Back, Carter, guy! Yeah! So, also, though... in addition to Lords of Salem, which everybody's looking forward to that. That'll probably be out, next year sometime?
Yeah.
Warner Brothers has chosen our good buddy Ben Affleck to adapt and direct The Stand, a Stephen King apocalyptic mammoth book. Affleck has become kind of popular lately in Hollywood with his movies The Town and Gone Baby Gone. And they think he's got the grit necessary to handle such a unforgettable tale, Uncle Bill.
Yeah, well, I will admit that The Town was pretty good. I've never seen Gone Baby Gone.
Gone Baby Gone. It's pretty good.
Yeah, so he apparently has some talent for being a director, which I don't like him as an actor at all. I think it's a piece of shit, but that's just
I liked him in that one movie where he beat up his mom when he got on steroids.
Oh, yeah.
It was like an HBO movie or
that
something.
That was, yeah. That was the inspiration for that South Park episode, too, where
it was.
Jimmy beats the shit out of his girlfriend. But, honestly, like, the only things that I've ever liked him in are the movies, like the Kevin Smith movies, where he was making fun of himself, basically. Like, in other films. As a serious actor, he just drives me nuts or something about him. He's got that same syndrome that other actors, like, well, Matt Damon's another example, that just, they're really bland as actors. You just don't fucking, they don't have a lot of charisma.
Right. Yeah. Plus, he's got that ass chin.
That other guy, too, the guy that's James Bond, that Daniel Craig, he's another example of somebody I just look at. Yeah. Well, I try to watch him act, and he's like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, for some reason, about all the motherfuckers that plays James Bond, I think that.
Except for Timothy Dalton. He was awesome.
Yeah, Timothy Dalton was pretty cool. So, I think that's all the news we got, Uncle Will. That's sad.
That is sad. We apologize, but the horror world sucks.
It's not our fault.
So, what kind of screenings do we have? Theatrical screenings.
Actually, we were just talking about it. The Twilight Saga, Breaking Wind, Part 1.
Oh, God. It'll probably be 10 parts or something by the time it's over with. That's part 9.
Well, technically, it's supposed to be over with by next year.
No, it won't be.
We'll see.
Oh!
I know the line is probably getting pretty long by now. You know what we should do? We should take
It'd
a
be
camera.
Funny to drive
down there.
We should
take a camera down there and at least film it and make fun of them as we're going by. Like, they go, Twilight sucks! Fuck you! I swear to God, if you'll go, I'll take a camera and scream out, Edward! We'll do it about 11 o'clock.
That'll be so killer.
10:30 or whatever.
All right, we'll do it. Fuck, that'll be so killer. Oh, God. Anyway.
I look forward to that video.
Anyway. DVD and Blu-ray releases for November the 22nd.
That's gonna be awful.
You got Super 8, the two-disc Blu-ray DVD combo, which I'd actually like to get because that movie was pretty awesome, I thought. You've also got Conan.
I wonder why it took so goddamn long to come out. It took like almost 6 months to come out.
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe they were really wanting to get that Blu-ray release right. Conan the Barbarian 2-disc edition. I'm assuming that's a new Conan the Barbarian.
That's a new one that everybody shit on.
And WWE Vengeance 2011, bitch.
Yeah, which was actually not that bad of a show.
Did you pay for it?
Yeah.
I know you paid to get that.
Yeah, I mean, there's not even a whole lot of DVD Blu-ray releases right now. It's kind of weird. But
it's weirder that it's almost around Christmas time, too, and ain't really shit coming out.
Yeah. I don't think they're, I think usually they release like some of their big titles in like September and October. That way they're out there really good by Christmas. That's traditionally how they do it. So.
God, you remember what January and February is going to be like? That's going to be fucking awful.
It is going to suck ass.
Because that's usually the slowest time. And it's already slower than hell right now.
We've got a lot of stuff to review still yet though.
Yeah, really we do have a lot of things backed up.
Yeah. But anyway, we're going to get to a break, and when we come back, we're going to have the legendary Jesco on here, one night only.
Yep, she's going to do a one-night stand.
She'll answer the phone.
She'll answer the phone.
And we're going to talk about things to give thanks to.
On Thanksgiving.
Because Thanksgiving is coming up.
You going to stuff that bird?
You can stuff it.
Stuff it, too.
I'll let everybody else stuff my bird.
I'll bet.
You're on DeadBill.com.
Farmer Vincent had an inn, E-I-E-I-O, and in this inn he killed his guests, E-I-E-I-O, with a chop-chop here and a grind-grind there, here a chop, there a chop, everywhere a chop-chop, now his guests are sausage links, E-I-E-I-O, Motel Hell, you might just die laughing, from United Artists, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the very first ever Thanksgiving thankathon.
We give thanks because we hate everybody.
Yeah.
And we're joined by little Piper Fry over there. Say hi, Piper.
She says hi.
She will say hi to us very violently in a minute.
Yeah, she will. Just give her a couple of minutes, and she's gonna start getting pissed off here in a second.
Here it is.
Yeah. Actually, Jess is titty feeding her right now. So.
Oh, gosh.
But we're actually going to go around, and since it is Thanksgiving coming up, what in the fuck was that?
What is that?
Oh, it's my phone, text messages.
Oh, okay. Well, turn that shit off.
Yeah, goddammit. I don't want to hear old duck shit.
What do you mean, duck?
It sounds like a damn duck.
It's the vibrating. It goes, wah, wah. It's not a duck.
That's not a phone either.
It is a phone.
She's at the house right now.
Yeah, it's probably a crusty old vibrator you got.
Oh, son of a bitch. It has to be crusty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Why is it got to be crusty?
Because you got to save it for Lauren so you can put it on top of your spaghetti and stuff. It'll like scratch it off. Woo, yeah.
It's like Parmesan cheese.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Oh, gross.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's taking it a step too far.
Anyway, that is a little nasty, but still, that's how we do it.
Yeah.
We have been balling and shotgun since 2005. That was back when Jess was in the fourth grade.
Can't stop.
Oh, my God. I was in my first year of college,
so,
dick.
First off, I wanted to give thanks to Kitsy Duncan.
Kiffy!
For not only being a lovely lady that goes to conventions, but that also makes a lot of money off of dumbass fans willing to, pay her $30 or $40 to get troll, reunion photos and stuff. So, big thanks goes out to her. Without her, a lot of these photo ops wouldn't be possible.
She does provide a much needed service.
Yeah,
to the fans. I was gonna say, yep.
Yeah, because
if it wasn't for her, no one would be able to have their picture taken with any celebrity.
That's right. At the photos getting taken at. Yeah, what was that? She giving her.
Yeah, that's stupid. Like, who'd pay for that shit?
Photos were never taken before Kitsy Duncan.
Are you fucking strangling Bozo the Clown to death or something? Turn that fucking shit off.
I think I know what it is.
I can't.
I think I know what it is.
Turn off is if I hang up.
I think Jess has like got gas or something. That's what it is. She's like fucking letting her fly. She's scared. She told me before she's scared to fart in front of you, Uncle Bill. So she's like there alone. She's like, God, I can finally fart. Yeah. Shit, yeah. So anyway.
I don't know how to turn it off. I don't know what to do.
Turn the vibrating off.
I can't.
Well, quit texting people, then maybe I'll quit. I don't end it.
Well, I'm talking on the phone. It's the text that come in. It's like a reminder.
Yeah. I can't. So anyway, baklava. Let's go.
Well, I want to comment on that, though. It is good, though, that people are providing those services, because everybody knows that celebrities are completely fucking stupid, and if it weren't for somebody corralling them together to take a picture, they wouldn't know what to do with a camera. They're like fucking monkeys, apparently. They're just like, they see a camera and like moving 2 feet together to take a group photo. They're just like, it's like they're kryptonite or something.
Yeah.
They're just like, they're fucking like bouncing it off each other's heads and shit. They have no idea how to do that.
And see, when I get a photo taken with a celebrity, to me, I've always dreamed about that backdrop being there.
I know you have.
Where it just, it looks like something, you know, that would have been used for a magazine or something. You know what I mean? So that's always been a dream of mine. I'm glad that she made our dreams a reality, Uncle Bill. Without her.
She's like the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Without her, her digital camera, and 4 printers. We just, you know, our lives have been completely changed. So I give her thanks.
We're bound to get a fucking email or something about this.
I give her thanks for not only providing a great service, but ruining the experiences for a lot of fans at Scarefest and Horror Hound Weekend. Thank you.
God. I somehow think that you're being slightly sarcastic.
You might have a few sarcastic ones on here, but I still give thanks. I don't wish any ill will towards anyone on this.
Okay, am I ready to go? I think I'll go then.
I think you'll go because Jess is scared.
I am thankful for the. Yeah. I am thankful for the fact, though, that we alone and only us, meaning deadpit.com, were responsible for the death of the career of Eli Roth completely, to the point where he's now just relegated to doing like that show where he was like, "Are You Evil?" That came out around Halloween. That's the only thing he can do now. What is it?
I don't actually like that show.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's all he can do now.
Yeah, he's not making feature length films anymore, which is great.
You leave Eli Roth alone. I was picking on him. He's not that bad.
Yeah, Eli Roth's like the Whoopi Goldberg of horror directors now, though. He just shows up on like these little shows and stuff that come out like he doesn't do anything else.
He's like on some DVD special feature
talking. He's going to be on Hollywood Squares next.
Yeah, talking about a director that could actually direct.
He's going to be on The View.
He's going to be the fourth woman on The View.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think we all definitely give thanks to the tombstone of Eli Roth's career.
Which I was telling you guys yesterday, I like that Thanksgiving trailer he did. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, but that was like 4 years ago. 5 years ago, almost.
So cool.
That was like 5 years ago, Jeff.
I think that's the only thing Eli Roth's ever done that I liked.
But it was only 90 seconds.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So, hey, Eli, if you want to come back and make more movies, make them about 90 seconds. They could be good then.
I was actually looking forward to when he said that he was going to make Sal from that Stephen King book. I was kind of curious about what that was going to be like.
Yeah, then Stephen King found out about it and was like, no!
So anyway, though, what, Jessica, are you thankful for right now?
I'm thankful for the Fright Night remake.
Holy shit, I gotta hear why.
Because that was just amazing. That Fright Night remake was, it was awesome. I think it should be a classic. Now, there's nothing better than that movie. I think that the movie is actually better than the original.
It was good masturbation material.
Yep.
That movie
was absolutely horrible.
No, I do kind of give thanks to that movie because that movie proved that, you can't just slap a title on a piece of shit and people will go see it because they didn't.
They actually did more. Like, I haven't seen the Fright Night remake, but we will get to see it because we are getting screener copies.
I don't know why you wanted to get the screener copy of that. Can't you just take my word that that's completely shit?
But you're right, Aaron, that it's like that, though. That you are thankful for a remake of a movie that's absolutely shitty so that way people can see how absolutely shitty it really is, because it didn't even make any sense. Because if you'd never seen the original, then you would have no idea what it was about. And there have been some decent remakes. You know, I Spit on Your Grave was decent enough.
Yeah, I did like that.
But I like the Last House on the Left remake.
I like that one too.
Did we like I Spit on Your Grave?
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake when they made that a while ago, and people kind of... A lot of people really like Rob Zombie's remakes of Halloween, so there hasn't been a really, really super shitty one. And you know, it's kind of funny is that no one's really ever talked about how absolutely shitty the Fright Night remake has been. I think they just kind of are sweeping it under the rug, and people are hopefully forgetting about it, so that way, you know, the USA can keep on making movies that are stupid.
Well, really,
USA!
It was really... I think the Nightmare on Elm Street remake set a new level of just how shitty a remake can be. And then after that, all these other remakes, like, there was a couple that came out right around the same time. There was a Fright Night remake and the Don't Be Afraid of the Dark remake that people just, like, nobody went and saw that shit. Like, they didn't care.
I'll say this. I have...
What about the Footloose remake? That one's out now. Don't forget about that one.
The what now?
The Footloose remake. I know it has nothing to do with...
Well, of course we did forget about that. Something else, though, that I think is really fucking interesting. I heard from a reliable source that talked to somebody that was actually in the new Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Yeah.
That is coming out next year. And they were like, this is nothing. This isn't going to be anything. This is a joke.
Basically. Really?
So you take it for what it's worth. I mean, I don't have, you know, 100% confirmation.
But you did.
Odds are it's pretty shitty.
Did you hear it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another?
It was actually in the movie.
Yeah. Okay. I don't believe it.
Not for a minute.
Here's something, though, that I, honest to God, want to thank people. I want to thank the Dead Pit Universe, Uncle Bill. I'm thankful for them.
I want to thank Darren Hay for every weekend telling us to have a great weekend, because I was telling him that to look forward to seeing that.
And get sloshed.
I actually look forward to Darren saying, have a great weekend.
Yeah. I think, yeah, that is, he does that every weekend, like clockwork.
He does it to all of us. Yeah. And it's like, I actually, if there's a week that goes by that he doesn't say have a great weekend, I feel like he's mad at me for some reason.
He's pissed off at you.
Yeah. I mean, there is, like, and the thing is, like, we've been doing this show for so long, and I understand that people are going to come and go and stuff like that, but, like, just, I don't know, every time we're at a show, there's always, like, a large amount of people that make us feel like we're sort of, like, something, you know.
And I like to thank them because it gives me an ego. That's true. And I guess something that would piggyback off of that, though, is I do want to thank, it wasn't really the Dead Pit Universe, but there were a lot of people that knew about this and that did come to the show and things, is the, we actually had the opportunity to do the screening at the Strand of Halloween 4, and that it sold out,
yeah,
and that we actually proved that you could do a midnight screening in
at,
this area, and it would
Strand,
work.
And
yeah,
it was a massive success. But it has to involve Dead Pit, though. That's the key. We're the...
Well, we are the creative force behind all that.
Yeah, we are the gel behind the spiked hair, if you will.
The only thing that'll make more money than that will be all the retards that are out there right now waiting for Twilight.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding, Jess.
I've got to see Twilight. I think that they're having, like, hot vampire sex if she gets pregnant or something like that.
Listen to this, though. As I was driving down here, I was telling everybody about this, telling Wes about it. It was like 7 o'clock when I drove down, and there's already a fucking line of people sitting out there in front of the Strand, and it's like...
Oh, they're having it at the Strand?
Yeah, they're having the midnight screening of
We're
it at the Strand.
We're going to take a camera down there about 10:30, and I'm going to scream Edward at them.
We're not kidding either.
Oh, gosh.
Edward! Then you can go back the other way and scream, Jacob!
Jacob!
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
And then we'll drive back again, and one of us just be like, Dakota Fanning.
Dakota Fanning.
I never get sick of making fun of Twilighters.
Me either.
So, something else that I wanted to give thanks to, horror-related kind of, is the lack, I guess the studios, for their lack of releasing horror films. Because most of the ones they do release suck ass, so at least they're not releasing them, and we don't have to put up with the shit.
Yeah, there was a period there where there was, like, way too many companies releasing a bunch of just the most useless shit you can imagine or have to sit through, and we were getting all of it. It was like you have all these little bitty labels that would pop up and release, like, 10 films that nobody ever needed to see and then just die out, and I'm glad that shit... I'm thankful that
but
that's not around anymore.
I do think that the new wave of probably within the next 4 to 5 years, every theater is going to be like a digital projection theater. So there may be more low-budget horror movies coming out that way because it's cheaper to actually distribute the movies. There's not any, you know, you don't have to make thousands of 35-millimeter prints or anything like that. So... that may be changing here soon.
Shit.
Right, Jess?
Yeah, that's right. There has been a lot of, like, I think that they try to produce or make these movies too quick, and they aren't putting any thought or effort into anything. So something that is really original, like the Paranormal Activities, how they were, the first two were pretty good, and then this last one, they made it really quick. And I think it's just because they wanted to make a quick buck, and they didn't pay any attention to any of the details. So what could have been actually a good movie, because they had a lot more money making it, they didn't care. They just wanted to put it out and make more money. And a lot of people, I think, that it was good just because the scares were good, but the story was horrible. And so a lot of these companies have a lot of money to make movies, but they're not good. They're stupid.
Well, the last Paranormal Activity 3, it did seem like it was one of those cases where they were just going to slap something out there and try to get money, because the storyline completely ruined everything about the first two movies that was awesome, because then they tried to explain everything and it was one of the dumbest fucking explanations ever. Which is what Hollywood does. They take wonderful ideas. Hollywood basically takes wonderful ideas from people that have made independent films and just turns it into like the stupidest, most watered down shit ever.
Right. Well, I mean, even for me, I thought that the second Paranormal Activity, while it was still entertaining and still a pretty good movie, I thought the first one was way better. And the first one was actually not even done by a mainstream studio. It was an independent film. So,
well, Steven Spielberg had his hand in it.
Had his hand in what?
In that movie. He did. Yeah, I mean, he didn't make it or anything like that, but he helped to get it out there and stuff. And he gave him some money, I think, for it. I read something in Entertainment Weekly when that movie first came out, that Steven Spielberg had his hand in it.
Yeah,
somehow.
He picked it up, I think, after those guys made it. And I think he was one of the ones that helped them work on the various endings of the movie. That there's like five or six different endings.
Because there was some kind of ending with a demon or something that went on, and he had given him money to do that. But I don't think I've seen that ending. There was three or four endings to that movie.
Yeah, I think the demon ending is actually on the DVD, though.
There's different DVDs. The one I saw had like a completely different ending than what people talk about.
The one I saw must have had the demon ending in it, then. That's when, like, she looks towards the camera and she sort of transforms into like the demon thing.
She's a fucking demon.
Yeah.
Well, you know, also one, is that, you know, we watch a lot of horror movies, and those are the movies that we get in from the companies and we watch. And
well, me and Uncle Bill watch them.
Like
you go around the house cleaning and shit.
What now?
I said, me and Uncle Bill watch them. You go around the house cleaning and shit.
Well, I can't help it.
You can't really blame her for that movie.
It was horrible. I got the gist of that movie just from listening to it, and it was stupid.
It really was a total waste of time, but it was hilarious.
Well, we're going to talk about that movie a little bit later on, Jeff. You missed out on
Well, whatever. But I was going to say that we watched a lot of the horror movies, but I was just thinking that I don't think that the entire movie industry is doing that good anyways. Just from the commercials that you see of any of the movies that are out, they're really stupid. There are a bunch of love stories that involve a million different people, and nothing looks good, or remakes of Footloose or stupid children movies like Puss in Boots. There's nothing good out there at all.
Look,
I think Piper liked that. She wanted to see Puss in
Boots.
Wow,
Mr. Wes Vance, Creepy Kentuckian. In regards to The Forest, you were totally wrong. That movie's a piece of shit.
What the fuck is that?
I couldn't even get through it, hardly. It was so bad.
I'm going to end. I'm just going to see who it was.
I'm thankful that Wes came out of the closet and announced that he's gay.
Yeah, whatever, buddy. You wish, motherfucker.
Yeah, that kind of was a big deal for him, I know.
I'm not much longer I'm going to be able to stay on the phone.
Well, let's say this, because I think you'll agree with me on this one, too.
Probably won't.
I know.
Give it a shot.
You will, I'm pretty sure. I'm thankful that American Horror Story actually exists and is probably the creepiest fucking TV show that's ever been out.
Creepier than The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like...
It's better than The Walking Dead.
It is better than The Walking Dead.
What channel is it on?
What is it, Jess? FX, yeah.
Yeah, it's on FX. That show was awesome. That American Horror Story is really good.
A lot of people don't know this, though, but that show was actually produced by James Wong.
James Vanderbeek.
Which Yeah. It's produced by Dawson.
That'd be fucking cute.
Dawson's Creek.
American Horror Story, produced by James Vanderbeek.
But James Wong was actually one of the guys that was responsible for the X-Files, so.
We need to get James Wong's fucking ass back on the show.
James Wan, you mean?
Yeah. That's what I said.
I'm talking about James Wong.
I'm talking about James Wan, the guy
I'm talking about Wong.
Wan.
Fuck James Wan. I'm just
kidding. Alright then, okay. I'm thankful for Always Sunny. This year has been really funny.
That ain't got nothing to do with it.
Well, you guys keep having your little argument over there.
No, I actually think that this season has been pretty good of that, too.
FX has some really good shows. And Wes was saying that Hell on Wheels wasn't bad either.
I've never seen it.
Hell on Wheels is awesome.
Is that the one about that guy from that Ted Levine guy?
Yep.
Yeah, I think he's in it.
Buffalo Bill?
Yep.
It's a...
Yep.
It's a like an 18th century like western some sort.
Well, that's fucking neat.
It's right on right after it has nothing to do with horror, but it's on right after Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh yeah, that's right. Hell on Wheels is on AMC, it's not FX.
Yeah, buddy, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Well,
I've only seen like, well, I saw the last episode pretty much in its entirety, and I saw like about 20 minutes of the first episode, so it's not too bad. I'm not a big guy. I have a hard time remembering when shows are on, and so. But something else I'm thankful for, folks, is I'm thankful for ass. I've got to say.
Yeah.
Aren't you thankful for it too, Uncle Bill?
Yeah, I am thankful for it, because without ass, what would we do?
I know. Life just wouldn't be as fun without ass.
No.
Nope. Everybody needs a little ass.
Yeah.
Whereas,
There's clean ass, there's stinky ass.
Then there's ice.
I'm thankful for ice.
Yeah.
You know what I like? Hairy ice.
You're thankful for hairy ass.
I'm thankful for hairy ice.
Thankful for buckets.
You ever notice, though, like, speaking of ass.
Oh, it's...
Like the porns in, like, the early 80s.
Oh, God.
The asses, man, they had some major fucking hair going on them asses in the 80s.
That was before they even knew about, like, waxing their ass.
Yeah, but I think women... Women back then had hairy asses than me.
Men had hairy asses.
Huh?
Men had hairy asses. And
women have hairy asses too, motherfucker.
Well, maybe I just never paid attention to the women asses, but the men are disgusting.
The women's hairy ass, it's almost like their pubes, like they start their pube line, right?
Yeah.
Then it wraps all the way around to the top of their ass crack.
Looks like they're giving birth to Richard Seaman.
It really does. it's disgusting, kind of.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it looks like they've got fucking buckwheat and like a leg hold or something. But,
yeah. What are you doing watching retro porn anyway? It's like, where did that...
I've seen it before is what I'm saying.
I was like thinking to myself, were you watching porn? You were like five.
Yeah, I actually was. I was into that way back then.
I love porn.
This shit's good.
Jess, do you have anything you'd like to add to be thankful for?
I don't know. It seems like it's been really boring this year.
There hasn't been a whole lot. Like, I mean,
very, very boring. I don't think there's been anything good at all this year to be thankful for.
I think
in terms of like horror movies and stuff.
I think Insidious is like probably the big one.
Yeah, Insidious definitely is probably the only thing that's been good. Well, I mean, are you guys going to talk about Tucker and Dale?
No, that'll be next week or week after.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm thankful for that, by the way. That was actually really good. So
yeah, I'll be honest. Like watching that, we watched that movie like two or three times now, I think.
Yeah.
And it is one of the most original and entertaining horror films that I've seen, whether it be mainstream or independent, in a couple of years, probably. At least the last year.
I'm thankful for Jess, for Jess giving me that Blu-ray. That.
Oh, no, no, no. No, no, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I asked Wes what he wanted us to get him for Christmas because we were going to the mall. And he said that he wanted an 80-inch LCD something. What did you want, Wes, for Christmas?
The Sharp Aquarius 80-inch LED TV.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yes, of course, because, you know, we can afford that.
Well, I'm thankful for the fact I don't give a fuck what he wants.
Hey, buddy, that's not a right. That's not right behavior for this time of year, buddy.
Oh, God.
I'm thankful for Uncle Bill over it because I love him.
I'm thankful that we moved to Prestonsburg away. I'm thankful that we didn't get murdered.
Yeah, I'm thankful for that, too. It's always
so funny because as we were moving out, like, all these people were pulling up and asking, like, where are you going? Are you moving? Blah, blah, blah. And they're like, I said, yeah, we're moving. And they said, oh, I don't blame you. It's horrible over here. Even the thugs were saying that it was ghetto, and that's pretty bad.
What's funny is those, Jess, you still wanted to stay up there. You ain't worth a shit.
Oh, because I'm lazy and I didn't want to move.
That's true. That is true. She is very lazy and didn't want to move.
Well, I know she's lazy. I know how she is.
But aside from that, though, like, it is much, much better where we're at right now. Just the neighborhood's better.
The neighbors are nicer.
Well, the neighbors aren't nicer, but the house is nicer and the neighborhood's better. And you don't feel like you're going to get fucking murdered when you leave or that people are watching the house, which they were watching the house up there, clearly, a lot of the time.
Yeah, the neighbor across the street is a bitch here.
I'm thankful that she's a bitch, though.
Yeah.
Not me. Oh, my God.
Keep you on your toes, Jessica.
She's horrible. She's the worst.
She told me she liked you a lot.
You know, the thing is, though, you never noticed this. Dead. Jess can't really get along with anybody.
Yeah, we like to do a little thing called recycling. I swear to God, I just...
She'd get along with your mom quite well, then.
Yeah, we both recycle the shit out of everything.
Well, the only reason that we were, like, so strict on recycling is because where we live, we'd get fined if we didn't recycle. So if you went 2 weeks without putting your little orange bin out front, you'd get a big old fine.
Here what happens is you get fined for recycling. They're like, stop that, stupid.
You quit being all uppity with your recycling shit.
That woman, she was just so mean. She was judging us on what we did for a living. I'm like, you know.
Hey, tell that baby to shut the fuck up.
No, she's getting mad. I gotta go.
Let me speak to her real quick.
She's getting mad. Your daddy wants to say something to you.
You settle down over there, Popper. Settle your ass down.
Shut up! Shut up!
I hope it's not happening.
No. Poor
girl. Aww. It's so sad. Okay, I gotta go.
All right, well, thank you for participating.
All right. Well, I'll talk at you later, Jess.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that is Popper's big debut on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's a whiner just like you and Jess.
Aw, you eat my ass.
No.
I'll fucking kill you.
I want you to pluck my ass hairs.
You what? Ass hairs.
Ass hairs.
Right.
Out. With your teeth, one by one.
Arse! My arse hairs.
Yeah. So that segment was Ooh. Kind of a disaster, wasn't it?
A lot of things went wrong in that segment.
But hey, you have to try this shit to know if it'll work or not.
So what else you got over? Anything?
I'm thankful for this motherfucker. Let's listen to his fan mail question.
Okay.
we was kind of listening to it earlier, but there's a little bit of technical difficulty going on here.
Wow, Mr. Wes Vance, creepy Kentuckian.
Is that Fiend of Gru?
In regards to the forest, you were totally wrong. That movie's a piece of shit. I couldn't even get through it, hardly. It was so bad. I don't know why you champion it, and I want to hear you on your radio show tell me why you champion that movie because it was suckitude. It was horrible. It was bad. Explain yourself, Miss Tom.
Okay, I'm going to take a wild guess and think say that it's hydroponic, Colin.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, we haven't heard from that guy in like 2 years.
It's a 360 area code. So can we find out where that's at?
Yeah, give me a second.
He lives in like fucking Minnesota or somewhere, or Wisconsin.
360.
While he's looking that up, I'm defending The Forest because that movie is fucking killer. I don't give a shit who you are. If you're a fan of slasher movies, motherfuckers that champion shit like fucking Final Exam or what was that one that was awful with Daryl Hannah in it that people talk about? The Final Terror. Oh, God, that movie sucked.
What was the one with the clowns? That movie was fucking awful.
What was the name of that? I've got it over somewhere.
You remember Dana Love, Terror on Tour.
Yeah, Terror on Tour.
God damn.
People that go on about fucking Killer Party. Dude, Killer Party's a piece of shit. That movie's fucking awful.
What'd you say the area code was?
360.
360.
Could give out his whole phone number on here, but I'm not going to do that.
You should.
That wouldn't be
It'd
right.
Be funnier than hell. I don't think anybody would call him anyway. He'd probably enjoy it.
Oddly enough, he called, like, just a while ago and left that, so.
We're going to find out what's going on.
We're
going
to find out where you're at, boy. We're going to come for you.
I'm thankful for the fact that we're going to murder you.
We're just kidding. We can't say that.
What?
We're going to murder him.
We don't know who it is, for one thing.
But, yeah, I mean, The Forest is just a movie that, like, I understand it's not that great of a movie, but, like, I was always creeped out by that movie. I think that the killer in it is more of a realistic killer. Like, he's not like a monster or anything. He's just like a regular guy. And when you're a kid, that's, to me, I thought that was a little bit more terrifying because he just looked like a regular guy that was killing people instead of like, you know, somebody like Freddy or Jason with, you know, basically a zombie.
Oddly enough, 360 is a Washington area code.
Washington so, State?
Yeah.
Who knows then? I have no clue.
I don't know either. We may never know now.
Maybe it's Larry Cobain. Kurt's uncle.
Hey! Some bitches.
I mean, just for the hell of it, I'm going to see if we've got any more voicemails on here we can play.
All right. I think this would be a good time, though, while he's looking for these voicemails, to tell everybody, make sure that you check your blood sugar and check it often. That's an important part of a balanced Quaker oatmeal diet.
Thank you guys so much for doing the Ron Sloan interview. I hope you can have him back on. And the other cast from Fire Pitching Part 5. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, buddy.
It's no problem. We're glad we could help.
A lot of these are pretty old.
Ron Sloan was junior.
This one's
hey,
like,
CK. Hey, Uncle Bill. Hey, Jessica. Just wonder if you ever seen the movie Dagon. It was a Stuart Gordon movie. I think it was H.P. Lovecraft. I'll send it in the mailbag. Thanks. Love the show. Keep it going.
Thank you, buddy. I've never seen Dagon.
I've got it. I've tried to watch it like a bunch of different times, but never been able to get all the way through it.
Yeah. I've never seen it. For some reason, that message lasts 2 minutes and 40-some seconds. But that's pretty much it for this segment. You know, it is what it is. If you enjoyed it, let us know. If not, shut up. If you didn't enjoy it, just shut up.
Yeah, we don't really care. If you didn't enjoy it, we've been doing this for 6 years now. If you didn't enjoy it, you know we're not going to do anything differently. We're not going to change anything, and it doesn't matter.
You can eat my dick if you didn't like it. And The Force rules, brother.
Got them motherfuckers on there just on that fucking message board.
Yeah.
To go on about shit all the time.
Yeah. But we're going to take a break. We got fan questions to get to and reviews. So we will be back here on DeadPit.com.
things that happen in dark of night. Pale terrors that creep just out of your sight. There are sounds that chill the blood in your veins, that stop your heart and hold you like chains. In the next dark shade, it may happen then. Screams of a Winter Night. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hi, this is Lisa Wilcox from Nightmare on Elm Street 4 and 5. I played part of Alice, and I'm talking to you from Dead Pit Radio.
Howdy, folks, and welcome back to Dead Pit. Creepy Kentuckian here.
Hello, I'm Beth.
And we're doing a fan mail this week, huh?
We haven't done one for a little while. Read the shit out of your fan mail, quick.
I'm looking forward to it.
So let's go ahead and dive right into this. You ready? You ready?
Get rid of this shit over here.
You ready for it? Okay. First question is from our good buddy. Our pal.
He's got a lot of questions on there, I think.
He's got several. Ben.
Benji.
Writes in and says, a couple of different things. Have you guys seen the new Bret Hart Shawn Michaels DVD yet? I did, and it's pretty damn good. You've got it, I know. I don't think you've watched it yet.
Yeah, I have. It's awesome.
Is it?
It really is. Like, it's one of the best that WWE's ever done. Like, I'm just amazed. It's really good. It's like a shoot interview with both of them together.
That's good. You should let me borrow it, and you're probably going to tonight. So, I haven't seen it yet, though. He also says, you guys are screening Halloween 4, and we've already done that.
Well, yeah, this is a couple weeks old.
For those of us not able to make it, what are your thoughts about that film? I love Donald Pleasance, the music, Daniel Harris, Ellie Cornell, and the awesome ending.
I think it's the best sequel they did. I mean, a lot of people like Part 2. Part 2 is good. But, I mean, I think... I've always liked it. I think it's the second best Halloween movie.
Yeah, I mean, I like it a lot. I think it's of all of the later sequels anyway, it's by far the one that is most closely resembles the first and second film, I think. And it's not overly violent like the rest of them got, where it just got to be like a fucking stupid slasher, you know, body count kind of movie, with just gratuitous violence and stuff like that. But it actually does, in a way, stay true to the old formula of the original Halloween film. And I think it is probably the best film that Daniel Harris has ever been in terms of her acting, too. Like,
yeah, it's
that's sad.
Like,
yeah,
she was like 9 years old when she was in it.
But everybody knows her now for it at conventions anyway. Nobody knows her for it.
Yeah, I mean, Halloween 4 is an awesome movie, I think. And I think it's still got an audience today. I mean, hell, it sold out the Strand. So,
yeah, so he goes on, though, to say one other thing I want to mention about Halloween 4 is Kathleen Kinmont's titties. God almighty, son, what the hell's up with that? That's Lorenzo Lamas' fucking wife, by the way.
Oh, really?
Or it was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's nice.
That's ridiculous.
Boobie.
He says, CK, are you glad Lindsay Lohan is doing Playboy? A few years back, you said you liked her since she's such a train wreck.
Yeah. I'm sure Playboy will do her up and make her look fucking killer now, but I mean...
It's hard to make her look killer, though, man. She looks fucking mad.
I think they can do it. I mean, it's a lot of airbrush work and stuff like that, Photoshop stuff. It is sad, though, now. Like, I mean, she's really, really starting to fall apart, and it's... What's even more bizarre, she's only like 24 years old.
Yeah, I mean, she basically, I mean, I hate to say this because I know she's young, but she doesn't have a career anymore, really. Like, she fucked up her whole...
Well, there's always, you know, if she cleans her act up, man, there's still a chance for her to actually
make a
comeback.
She'll have to make another, like, almost like a John Travolta-style comeback in something.
Well, I mean, similar shit happened to Drew Barrymore, and she made, like, a really good comeback. So there's always a chance, and I think it's sad. I mean, honestly, now, because, like, I think when I was saying that stuff, she was bad, but she wasn't starting to get to where she's physically, like, her teeth rotten and shit, and just really bad complexions and stuff now.
I mean, last time I saw her, she looked like, she is a drug addict, but she definitely looked like a drug addict. And all this crap about her just, like, not showing up in court and missing out on all of her... community service and all that stuff. She's just fucking out there now. The question is, though, would you want to see her in Playboy? And I think the answer to that is always going to be yes, no matter who it is.
Yeah.
So, what celebrity do you most want to walk up to at a convention and be like, hey, fuck you, dick?
Hell, I don't know. Tom Atkins. Although I really kind of already did that, kind of.
Yeah. I don't really know. Like, there's nobody.
There's better things you could say to him to piss him off. Just kind of laugh at him for charging too much or something like that would piss him off more than just saying, hey, fuck you, buddy.
Yeah, there's nobody I've ever gotten to the point with, except maybe Lloyd Kaufman, where I really did want to just tell them to go fuck themselves.
I mean, I don't want to be mean to people because I know there's a lot of people that listen to the show that are fans of Trauma and stuff like that. Lloyd Kaufman is just, like, I think he's one of those guys that, you know, he's a smart guy, but at the same time, like, he looks at the fans of Trauma as complete morons, and he's right. I mean, most of the time he's right, because you saw how people were acting at his table and shit. Like, he's got some of the goofiest acting motherfuckers at the Trauma table. Like, they're just fucking, like, I don't know, retards on acid or something. Hey, look at my mom!
Yeah. I guess he has become that now, though, hasn't he? I mean, after dealing with that shit for so long. That's one of the problems, though, is that Trauma really doesn't have any kind of identity anymore. Like, back in the 80s, at least it did have a solid base of films, but now it's just like they put out the dumbest shit and the shit that doesn't really have anything to do with...
Yeah, they just pretty much distributed the movies now. I mean, stuff that Lloyd Kaufman actually has a hand in. They release, like, one or two movies, like, every decade, maybe.
Yeah.
That's it.
Anyway... Here's the other part of another question here is thoughts on Walking Dead Season 2 so far. And I kind of answered that earlier.
We already talked about that.
Needless to say, I definitely am not as impressed with this season as I was with the last season. So, thank you, Ben.
Holla. Steven Bunch of Numbers says, hey, guys, thank you so much for mentioning Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Remembered them as a kid, but have been looking for them and forgot the name. Thank you again. Also, the artwork is fucking killer. It sure is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just something that I remember as a kid. It's just a part of Halloween for me. I mean, you know, it's something I always did every Halloween. And I actually remember for a couple years there, we had, like, Halloween parties. And this would involve my dad actually, like, getting books and reading. And he would read, like, Edgar Allan Poe shit. And I would love to have some of that on video, too, because he would actually try to be dramatic while he was reading it, too. And it was just...
That'd be awesome.
It was awesome.
Well, the interesting thing about that is, though, is that I've had a bunch of different people on Facebook and on the message board mention that not only that show, the Halloween show, but also just the fact that we reference Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which I think has been a part of pretty much every kid's childhood from the 80s, it seems.
Yeah,
like.
And oddly enough, nobody talks about it anymore either. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we might have been one of the only people to mention it in the last few years.
That show, though, really got a lot of good feedback from that show, and that was a completely, like, different show than anything else we've ever done, I think. It was just...
Yeah, and who knows, maybe it'll be a tradition. Because all we did was basically just goof off the entire time, and it's always fun. So...
Okay, so Lydia writes in. This is your woman right here.
One of them
says, "I've tried to see things your way, but I cannot for the life of me understand why you and Uncle Bill like Insidious. Everyone I know loves it. My boyfriend and I thought it was one of the most ridiculous movies we've ever seen. Why? What are we not getting? Especially the Darth Maul meets Mr. Tumnus monster.
Who's Mr. Tumnus?
I don't know. Why though, CK?" Tell us. The world wants to know.
Why? Ask why.
Try Bud Dry. Shit, that was a commercial.
Well, the thing is like...
I don't know. It seems like you fall into one or two camps with that movie. Either you just... Yeah. You really... Like, I didn't think that the Darth Maul character looking thing that you all were talking about was that scary looking. I thought that whole thing was kind of silly, but I didn't really think that was the point of the fucking movie. The point of the movie was like, that thing's only in it for about a combined 5 minutes. the rest of the goddamn movie is creepier than hell. Like, you can't put aside that one thing and, like, watch the rest of the movie and enjoy the fact that here's a person that actually tried to make an original haunted house movie, like, that hadn't been done that well since the, probably the 50s or 60s. And just that one part of it, I'm not going to sit around and bitch about.
The entire movie had a creepy vibe to it. And, you know, I mean, it's one of those deals where you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't with us, because we put up a negative review for something. We hear from people say, oh, you motherfuckers don't like anything. This movie was good. What's wrong with you motherfuckers? Y'all negative.
You piece of shit.
And we put up a positive review and we hear from fuckers like you, Lydia. The fuck?
That wasn't that scary. Fuck you for liking it.
Well,
I liked it. Hey, and a lot of people liked it. That's not just us. We're not in the minority here, buddy.
I liked it. I don't give a fuck who knows it either.
I like to go tiptoe through the tulips with brilliant.
Sound like you said tit throw.
Tit throw.
Tit throw through the tulips.
Yeah.
I would like to throw a tit. Thank you, though, Lydia. We always appreciate it when a female writes in. It's a lady.
We got another lady, too, baby. Woo, Christy. Let me tell you something, Christy. She seemed to like the Halloween show as well. She said, nice to hear Don't Look Now get mentioned by Uncle Bill. Says it's downright creepy. And it's also, there's a long-standing rumor that the sex scene with Sutherland and Julie Christie was real, although they both denied it. It still gives me gives the movie an extra weirdness factor. Well, I did hear, believe it or not, my best friend aside from Uncle Bill is, Donald Sutherland's cousin. And Donald Sutherland told him that he stuck it in Julie Christie's dirt box.
And she was like, hey, stick it in my dirt box.
All righty then.
No, I'm not kidding you, though. I'm going to have to let you borrow that movie. You watch it, because you'll sit through it, and you'll have the same reaction I did. You'll be like, "This, what the fuck is going on in this movie? This is completely stupid." And then you'll get to the end of it, and you'll be like, what? That's one of the most bizarre.
We need to come up with a song called Don't Look Now.
Don't look now. I don't have any clothes on. You're going to see my dick hang out. Right now, you're gonna see it swaying in the wind, like a chickpea swaying in the wind.
Aaron Taylor, there you go. Aaron, read Aaron Taylor's question.
He says, CK and Uncle Bill, I love the Halloween show. It gave me more Halloween feelings / nostalgia than all the movies that I watched this year. Reading a story on the Halloween show should be a tradition from now on. I know you guys are fans of Unsolved Mysteries, etc., and I've heard you talk about ghosts and weird stuff you've experienced as kids, but have you guys ever had any experiences with UFOs or strange lights? I think I did, but I can't remember. I think they did that
probed you.
Mind thing where they erased my memory, stuck shit up my dirt box.
They've got a little probe up right now.
Oh!
No, that's something that I don't think I've ever experienced any kind of extraterrestrial activity.
I've never seen anything that I remotely thought was like a UFO, I don't think.
Yeah, although I was a big fan of E.T. as a kid.
Yeah, that's true. So,
Elliot!
What? I don't know, that was just cute. So, we apologize, though.
Sorry, folks.
Yeah. So, go ahead and read the next question, Dickie.
Scott Burton. Wilcox, a couple things. He says he loves Pizzal's Pit, and he wants us to release the Retro Wrestling DVD. By God. Well, that's actually coming out today, folks.
So, it's released.
Buy it now. It's going to be a limited DVD, though. We're not going to have this for sale for long because we realize that Dead Pit's a horror show. It's not wrestling, so this will be available on Dead Pit for a limited time. So if you want it, go buy it.
Act now. prices may vary.
He's also asking, will there be a download release of the MWO shows from 2010 and 2011, Uncle Bill?
I'm going to bet that there will be at some point.
Well, that's probably going to be exclusive for the Dead Pit Premium site. Odds are.
All the card-carrying members.
Because there's so many shows that we did in those 2 years, and, you know, I want to have some stuff that'll be exclusive that you can only get on that premium section so people will get it.
Get it and get it now.
So there's your answer, and that will be up. The premium section, like, there's no timetable yet when that'll be up, but I think people will really dig it.
Idiot!
God damn it, stop that. Alright, so Cody LL writes him and says, for the longest time, I felt that Sam Raimi honestly doesn't give two craps about his fans. The guy has even admitted that he doesn't care for horror films and that he only did Evil Dead to get into the film business. The fact that he ignored his fans, begging him to do an Evil Dead 4 for years in favor of a remake, further proves that to me. What do you think?
I think he just likes making movies. I don't think it matters what genre it is.
Do you feel like he had any particular like affinity for the horror genre? He didn't seem to me to be that type of guy.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, I think, like, definitely comedy. He had a, he loved comedy, but he's never made a comedy movie. You know what I mean? I mean, he just.
Well, he's had comedic elements in all of his
movies. Yeah, he adds comedic elements and shit.
Except maybe the first Evil Dead.
I don't think it's fair to judge the guy on whether or not he was a fan of horror or not. I mean, I think a lot of these directors aren't fans of the horror genre, but they just fucking are stuck. They can't do anything else.
Well, I think horror is the genre that you first get into if you don't have a lot of money because it's easy to make a movie like that. But the real thing about Sam Raimi is that I think it wouldn't have mattered what movie it would have been that guy just knew how to direct. Like, he knew what it took to make a really interesting and entertaining movie, and there's no way that it wouldn't have mattered if it had been horror or anything else at that point.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I noticed about Evil Dead more than anything, I mean, it does have some spooky moments and stuff, and it's scary, and it's the only Evil Dead movie that's scary. But the bottom line is, you can tell, the guy was what? He was 19, 20 years old when he made that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't help but be amazed that somebody that young could make something that damn fucking, like, legendary in films. And I think Sam Raimi's made a lot of really good movies. I mean, there's some stuff that people really don't talk about anymore, like The Gift was awesome. He did Simple Plan, which I really liked that movie a lot too. Dark Man was another one that he did. It was good. And
I even liked Quick and the Dead, and a lot of people like that.
Yeah, I think I see Sam Raimi as just a great director. Of course he's Evil Dead as well. I mean, he's never going to be able to escape that, but I don't care if he's a fan of horror or not, to be honest with you.
Okay, so he also says, James Rolfe, a.k.a. the Angry Video Game Nerd, has always said that his big aspiration is to be a director and make theatrical movies one day. Do you think he has what it takes? I think he undoubtedly has talent, but I think his films sometimes tend to be clusterfucks of all the stuff he likes and is inspired by. I've never seen his film. Does he have films?
Yeah, he's actually... I think he started actually making like low budget independent horror movies. I think that he's making enough money what he's doing. I know that he's making an Angry Video Game Nerd movie, and I'm sure that'll be a big success. And the guy's for sure got talent. I mean, I think I saw a video of his where he was raising money on Kickstarter, and the goal was $75,000, and in like a couple of days, they got over $100,000+.
God, am I.
So, yeah, that movie's definitely going to be made. You know, it's hard for somebody, once they're known for something, to escape that and just become a director. But you never know. I mean, I think he's created a great niche audience for him. And if I was him, I would just do that shit for the rest of my life. I mean, it's something that's fun to do, and he's definitely making a lot of money at it, and he's been doing it a long time, so.
I love his stuff, though. There's never been a single thing that guy's done that I didn't think was entertaining.
Well, if you ever watch one of his videos, too, and I don't keep up with a lot of it, because I originally watched him on YouTube, and he's one of those guys that never became a YouTube partner. or anything. Doesn't he's got his videos on another site now, but has like all the work that goes into making one of those videos, and it really is a lot of work. It's not like us where we just get in front of a camera and just bullshit or whatever. He writes a script. He records, of course, like him just playing the game or whatever. Then he'll go back and watch the game and like put in the time code and at what certain thing is. I mean, it's like it takes hours and hours and hours to make one of those videos.
Yeah,
even before you get started filming it.
I'd never have the patience to do that, I don't think.
But I mean, think of all the guys too that have just been knockoffs of him. That have come along.
Well, that one guy in particular.
Yeah.
The irate gamer or something like that. It's like, okay.
Yeah. But, hey, you know, he's got started, and he's definitely the guy that's making the most money at it. So
he's the guy that's going to finish it.
Yeah. Rafi Gutman, Bulls, says, are you two releasing any DVD commentary sober or drunk in the near future? I prefer the sober ones and appreciate your informed opinions on films you enjoy. Thank you. Well, thank you, Rafi.
You're killer, Rafi.
I think we probably next week. We did a commentary last year. It's kind of a drunken commentary for Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. We'll probably put that one up. And then we're talking about maybe doing one or two more. And I actually thought of one that would be cool to do, like a non-drunken commentary, although it would take a lot of time to do it, would be Grindhouse, the entire three-hour.
Damn, cut. That would be, yeah.
But we could charge like $6 for it.
Well,
we could make more money on it.
I'd have to block my schedule out for that. But also, though, I know what one we're doing.
Would
for
people
the next...
like to hear Grindhouse, though? Grindhouse commentary.
Yeah, you're nice. I know what one we're doing for the next drunken commentary, though. You've already brought it up. It's already been mentioned, and I think it has to be done.
Yeah.
One of the absolute worst films ever made or remade in this case.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake.
God help us all.
So that'll probably be the next
one. Who will survive?
And if we're...
and what will be left
of
them?
If we're sober enough, or if we're conscious enough, I could bring Texas Chainsaw Massacre the beginning, and that could be like a... We could do like a...
You know what'll happen. The same thing that happened with Mouse Hunt.
You know what I should do? Like, I wonder if I've still got that commentary saved on my laptop. We're like, we started doing the Mouse Hunt. We could make that like a free thing where people would be like, what the fuck?
I just remember that was so fucking funny because we just kept laughing our ass off that little mouse that run out there and like do that little dance and then run back. Stayed on the credit screen for like 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, we were beyond fucked up.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
So, anyway, that's it for the fan mail. We will be back with some reviews and some announcements and stuff like that. And that'll be it for another week of Dead Pit, Uncle Bill. What do you think of that?
I think tonight it's going to get really fucking spooky.
Woo! It's time to get wet.
Let's get wet.
I'm going to take another wet shit.
Tonight!
Here on
DeadPit.com.
Imagine, if you will, that the most frightening things on Earth are about to come out of the darkness. They will look surprisingly like your neighbors, your friends, your family. Dawn of the Dead. There is nothing you can do to stop it. It's too late. It's coming to a theater near you. Dawn of the Dead contains scenes of violence that may be considered shocking. No one under 17 will be admitted. From United Film Distributing Company.
So, welcome back here to the programming.
Welcome back, folks.
Hi.
Creepy Kentuckian here with you.
Uncle Bill, as always.
We're always here. Can't always say it for Jesco.
No, she's definitely been slacking on her duties.
But a couple of announcements we need to make, folks. For one thing, you'll notice a slightly updated look for Dead Pit, and you'll see a couple of extra things here and there. This is all in preparation for the Dead Pit Premium section.
It's going to drop like a fucking A-bomb.
It is.
It's going to drop a bomb on you.
Yeah. And bitch. A lot of people have been asking, like, lately, too, a lot of emails and stuff, where are these shows from 2005, 2006, 2007?
Yeah, there have been a lot of people actually emailing us about it.
And these shows will be in the premium section, folks. And in addition to that, we're going to have an archive of all kinds of stuff that you've probably never heard. It's going to be on there.
Well, the other thing we were talking about, too, is there's going to be exclusive stuff that we'll only put up there that will never get never get heard unless you are an exclusive premium member.
Yeah. I mean, one idea that I had that, well, somebody gave me, to be honest with you, I ain't going to give any credit to it, was, but a special show where we could talk about major events that might have happened or something. Like, for instance, when Gaddafi got killed, we could have a little show about that, making fun of Gaddafi's dead ass.
Did you know? Did you know he stuck a utility knife up his ass at some point? Did you hear about that?
No.
Like, right when they captured him out of the drain cellar or wherever he was hiding at, that little sewage thing,
yeah.
One of those guys had a fucking utility knife and tried to, like, kept jamming it up his butt.
God damn, that must have hurt.
I'm sure that didn't feel good. I hope it wasn't one of those Swiss Army knives, like a corkscrew up his butt or something.
That wouldn't have been
tough.
That would have been a little painful. But, yeah, major events, stuff that happened, our opinions on things, I think that would be something different. People would probably want to hear about that.
It would be a good idea. That would be one way we could actually do stuff when, like, horror news breaks or something that was really, really, you know, huge. We could talk about on there, too.
So, I mean, all this also depends on how successful this thing is as well. So, you know, when we will have a launch date soon when we're going to do this, I'm just trying to find the best ways to go about doing this. And I've already actually bought a bunch of space for the new site. So, or it's not really a new site, it's just an extension of this site. So we'll have enough space to put, for instance, we did a special show right after WrestleMania 25 that I found that nobody has heard for years.
I forgot about that.
And,
yeah.
And stuff like that, you know. Interviews that we've done for other shows. So all this stuff's going to be included. Also, available now.
Speaking of wrestling.
And it's for a limited time. This isn't going to be available because originally we weren't even going to sell it on the site because it's just, it doesn't have anything to do with horror. But people were demanding it. People wanted it out. So we're doing it in real limited numbers. The Retro Wrestling Night DVD, Uncle Bill.
Woo. Yeah, this is, for anybody that doesn't know what this was, this is a period of time where we were going and reviewing, like, old pay-per-views and shows and things like that. And it's almost in the way that we do the video reviews for the horror.
On the road, kind of.
Yeah, and on the road stuff, too. We do video reviews for pay-per-views and things like that. And just random wrestling stuff is on there, too, that we've done in the past.
I mean, there's a total of 10 different reviews on there. We have kind of on-the-road reviews that we did at Monday Night Raw. And for a TNA show that was in Pikeville. And we have some never-before-seen drunken wrestling promos that I included on there.
Ooh.
That is not available anywhere. So the only place you can see that is on the DVD. And, yeah, if you guys want to get it, you better get it soon because it'll probably not even be available by January. It'll probably be off by then.
Yeah. So it's limited time, limited offer. Bye.
I would advise to spend your money, spend it wisely, be a nice stocking stuffer for all the little Jimmies out there.
All the little Jimmies.
Yeah.
Is R-Truth getting any kind of push nowadays, or do they like bury his ass too?
He's in the main event of Survivor Series, but didn't have a chance.
Oh. Well, anyway.
I'm sorry, you're black. We don't like you.
That's the way it is,
that's
really.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
That's Vince McMahon for you, not me.
All right, so let's get on with the review portion of the show, shall we?
We'll do the horror review first, because
people will tune out after this anyway.
Yeah.
So
the first one up, yeah. We reviewed this last night. We watched it, Uncle Bill's New Abode in Prestonsburg.
Yeah, and I hadn't heard anything about this movie. I didn't even know this movie was out until you told me it was out. But
I didn't even know it was coming out until I got it. I was like, what? Another fucking Howling movie?
Yeah, it's a Howling. Is it a sequel? I guess it's a sequel called The Howling Reborn, which is an Anchor Bay release for some ungodly reason. And it does have Landon Libelarn.
It says Chilling Reboot, so it's a reboot, not a remake.
I'll tell you what it is, to be honest, is like it's another company's attempt to make something look like Twilight.
So
if
they do
by that they mean that that's a reboot, then yeah.
Yeah, it does, like, the lead character, though, like, he kind of looks like Harry Potter. Like, I guess Landon Liboran, whatever.
Libiron. I don't know what the fuck you pronounce that.
Libiron.
But, okay. Far as I can tell, in terms of any plot or anything in this movie, there's this kid. Well, the movie opens with this woman actually being almost, like, murdered while she's pregnant and being scratched by some sort of werewolf thing, and then it opens fast forward apparently like to another time period, and this kid's like a real nerd going to school at this high school. Yeah, same old stuff. But he becomes obsessed with this one particular girl that he keeps seeing at these different places. There's a party that he sees her at, and he sees her at school as well. And so he starts following her around in much the same way that like the Lost Boys and stuff like that kind of happened. And as it turns out, while he, and this is the part that I thought was weird, because you originally start to think, okay, that girl is part of this pack
of
werewolves. But as it turns out, she has absolutely shit all to do with anything like that, the plot of the film.
My favorite part of the movie, though, is there's this asshole, like, jock guy that's picking on the lead, and like, and towards the beginning of the movie, like, they get into a fight, kind of. And then this is when the Edward guy, or whatever his name is in this. I can't remember his name. It's, who cares, really. But the lead guy in it kind of realizes that he's got something in him. You know, some sort of demon or whatever. And he beats the shit out of that guy. And then, all of a sudden, the jock guy pulls in the high school, and he's like stalking the hallways with this gun, like going to kill this guy or something. I was like, what the fuck?
Well, the best part about him to me was his accent. I don't know where he's from, but it's like, he sounded like Jean-Claude Van Damme or something.
Yeah. I mean, this would have been an awesome movie to do a commentary over when we first watched it though. Cause like, I wish we'd just recorded it, cause it was like, some of the stuff that we were saying was actually made the movie good.
It's got, like, the funnier parts about it is it's got an overlying narrative where he keeps saying stuff, like, through the movie, just like that one Kristen Stewart does through Twilight, where she's like, he's just saying stuff like, sometimes our future is not really destined. We have to make what we can out of our future. All that shit, like, throughout the whole film, which is hilarious. But the other part about it is, too, is it's a werewolf movie, but you don't even see any werewolves in it until the last probably 10 minutes. And the werewolves look fucking hilarious. I don't even know.
Well, they do is, like, they have, like, this kinetic camera style where it's like, okay, they've got these werewolf, like, statues that don't really move that much or anything. And they're just shaking the camera all around them and showing close-ups of their fangs and stuff. You don't really get to see the werewolves move at all in it.
Not until the very end, and then it's some sort of weird CG shit when they're not. And it looks like they did have like costumes and stuff, but the costumes look just it looks like they got leg warmers on. Like,
I mean, there's definitely a reason we didn't hear anything about this, and it just came out, you know. And when we watched it, we found out what the reason was. The thing is, though, is like, if you're hanging around with a bunch of buddies, drinking, having a little bit of a party and stuff, this is actually a perfect movie to watch because it's just so laughably shitty.
Yeah.
And there's so many little things in it that's hilarious. Like, there was this one sequence where the dad, I don't know why it was so funny, but we watched it back 4 or 5 times and just continuously laughed at it. Where, like, he almost sounded like Cartman. Like, he beat on, like, a window or something, goes, Damn it! Just some awful acting. But it worked.
Yeah, well, the whole movie is just chock full of everybody in that movie can't act at all. And that makes it even better, though. If you have to sit through something, it might as well be funny. You know what I mean? If it's going to be completely pointless. And this movie is both completely pointless and really, really funny and entertaining to watch. Because it's just, the whole time I was watching, I was thinking to myself, really, Anchor Bay? Really? Like, this is what you want to come out with.
This is the stuff they care about.
You completely got rid of all of your old catalog titles or re-release anything like that, but you want to come out with shit like this.
It's a reboot of the 80s horror classic, though. So
basically, they've turned into The Asylum.
Well, What's funny is, though, too, is you always know you're in trouble with any of these movies like this, where there are absolutely no quotes on it at all. Like, it just has, like, a description. Then it has it says, a new breed of terror. Nothing will be the same. They're true about that.
Yeah. The only quote you could have on that movie would be like, huh? That'd be the only quote. Like,
full moon, new blood.
What? After you watch it, you're just like, what the fuck?
I could put damn on it.
Yeah. Have Ron Simmons come out. Damn. Ron Simmons.
But you know what? I mean, it's horrible, but I mean, what did the Howling sequels really have to?
Well, that's true, though, because all of the Howling sequels were fucking hilarious in one way or another. None of them were, like, even at all remotely dramatic or scary or anything like that. They were just stupid. Yeah.
So, yeah. The Blu-ray, though, features audio commentary. The director and actor Lindsay Shaw, who I think was the girlfriend in the movie, I believe. Or maybe it was the mother, I don't know. The making of The Howling Reborn. That'll be great. And a storyboard gallery.
Wow, they had storyboards on
that?
Yeah,
they did. Anchor Bay Entertainment has this out now. Go to anchorbayent.com for all their releases. The Blu-ray looked pretty good, didn't it? For a movie that was like no budget.
Yeah. The only problem was it looked good. The picture quality looked good, but they had a lot of really bad CG in it. Like, fires and backdrops and stuff.
Yeah,
you
even
clearly
like
tell.
Entire like screen was CG for a few shots there. So that's The Howling Reborn for you.
Yeah, and Avatar, now, it ain't. I'll tell you.
Now all you non-wrestling fans can turn the show off and go fuck yourself.
Tonight, no one else. This next one we're going to review, though, is a really interesting little documentary called Card Subject to Change, which a lot of people know that saying means that the card for the wrestling shows you're going to, some people might not fucking show up.
Yeah,
so it's always subject to change.
Something you always see on an independent wrestling show poster, at least, is card subject to change.
Which this particular documentary, it follows like many, many different wrestlers at different levels of their careers, I guess. For instance, you've got Kamala, who was a well-known WWF wrestler back in the 80s, who's now on the independent circuit, and Percy Pringle, who was a well-known WWF manager, also known as Paul Bearer for a lot of the people that didn't watch wrestling in the 80s or 90s. And it also follows, like, the newer independent guys. But I guess the main guy that follows is the guy who's the owner of this independent wrestling company. I forget the name of it now. It's like the National.
Is it Jersey All-Pro Wrestling?
No. I honestly can't remember the name of it.
It doesn't matter.
No. But it's like the National Wrestling Society or some independent wrestling federation where he brings in older wrestlers and then tries to book like newer independent guys and stuff on there as well.
Right.
And it just goes through talking about all their lives, I guess.
Yeah, it follows like, you know, also Kevin Sullivan's in it. And it follows...
there's several other people.
Yeah, various... characters. It was basically one of those deals where it follows them for a couple of years or whatever in their lives. I think Sherry Martel was another one.
Which, yeah, actually, I guess the theme of this movie towards the end of it is they also follow one kid who was a pretty well-known independent wrestler called Trent Acid back in the day. And him and Sensational Sherry both passed away right around the time this documentary was filmed.
Yeah, I think they had filmed... Sherry's was one of the first interviews that they filmed, and then that was the last interview she ever did. She died, She actually died 3 or 4 years ago, but that's when they started on this documentary.
And both of them, amazingly, though, from, like, very similar things, drug overdose kind of death.
Well, and Trent Acid, I know, was, like, I mean, probably about 5 or 6 years ago, was one of the top independent guys going. I mean, he was one of the main guys that everybody thought he was going to be the big star, you know, the big new guy that was going to come out. And I think that he had, like, developmental deals with WWE and stuff like that, but, personal problems and stuff, it's always the same with some of these guys. I mean, And it's sad, too, because, I mean, he was really young. He was like 30 years old or something.
Yeah. The other guy that follows in here, though, too, who's actually a really interesting guy. I wouldn't have thought that he would be the way that he was, is Necro Butcher. He was in The Wrestler. He's like the hardcore guy. And by hardcore, I mean the majority of matches this guy's ever done are like light bulb matches,
yeah, fluorescent
light and like fucking barbed wire matches.
Razor wire, too.
He's just, it's insane. Like, it's to the point of being, I guess, sickening.
He's one of the guys that actually has made a lot of money doing that. I mean,
one of the only guys really that's made money doing that type of stuff.
And it's like, to him, it's like, yeah, I could, you know, I didn't get an education or whatever. I could go back and.
West Virginia, by the way. You find out that he grew up in West Virginia.
And he could go and, like, you know, sell used cars or whatever else and, you know, barely get by, or he could make a lot of money just busting his head open and shit. But the sad thing is, man, I mean, by the time that guy's probably, you know, 50 years old, he won't be able to walk.
He'll probably be dead by the time he's 50 years old. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Because, I mean, the one that I always go back to, and we saw him up close in person a few years ago, is Mick Foley. Like, I remember the shit that he did, and he was the one that kick-started all of that style, you know, that hardcore style. The guy is like, when we saw him, he was still in his 30s. He was like 35, 36 years old when we saw him. Man, he was walking around like an elderly guy or something. Like, he was limping, and he was just, I don't know, you could tell it took its toll on him. And I think he quit. He was smart about it. At least he quit. He hadn't been wrestling for over 10 years, like, on a regular basis.
Yeah, and he was actually one of the ones that, I guess, of all the hardcore legend guys that actually tried to take it easiest on himself. So you can only imagine. Sabu is also in this documentary. You can only imagine some of those guys like that. Yeah. Even in this documentary, Sabu was talking about quitting because he's like, the doctor told him that he's got some sort of ruptured discs in his back, and if he keeps doing this shit, he's going to eventually like wind up really seriously injured. But it's like, what the fuck are these guys going to do if they don't do that? Like, what are they going to do? They don't have anything to fall back on.
Yeah, somebody like Sabu had all the opportunities in the world to actually just relax and make money. But, I mean, it's just in their character, they're not mainstream guy. I mean, he had a job in WCW and WWE. It wasn't in him to do that shit. I mean, I don't know if he's just, that's his character or what. I mean, his personal character. Or he just doesn't like people to tell him how to do shit or what, but, I mean, he could have made a lot more money.
I've always heard with him and RVD, they're just too into the drugs and shit to, like, really be able to work in WWF, WWE, whatever you want to call it.
In the pot.
Well, he's into pain pills and stuff as well, and that's one thing.
But the thing is, they both had their opportunities to just settle their style down, change it up a little bit. I mean, and they never did. I mean, I don't know what's to become of Sabu. At least RVD is, doing some other stuff besides wrestling and shit. But Sabu, man, he's like almost, what, he's got to be in his 40s, late 40s by now.
Yeah, probably.
But
and there's a lot of guys like that, though. And you find out in watching this documentary that the majority of people that were WWF stars in the 80s that were lesser known stars like Kamala and the fucking, there was like Kidman and a couple other people from WCW that were in this. They're not really making that anything. The heyday of WCW and all that stuff is over now, and they're like making $200 or $300 a night.
I actually think these shows. I think Kidman's back in WWE as like a writer or something now, though.
Oh, that's good. But I mean, a lot of those guys that were making, they were making six-figure contracts in WCW, are now making $200 a night at independent shows.
Basically, though, I mean, this documentary really doesn't have any type of, like, a plot or anything to it. I mean, it's basically just following these guys around for that span of time, you know. And I don't know what you thought, but I did think that the most charismatic guy on that camera was the guy that Trent Acid, the independent guy. That was really honest about the problems he had and stuff like that. And you don't really find that. You don't see that a lot anywhere not only in the wrestling business, but anywhere. I mean, usually, like, if people can realize that, yeah, I've got a problem, you know, most of the time, I mean, you would think that they would want to seek help and stuff, but I don't know. It's not always like that.
No. I think that the guy actually that surprised me the most was that Necro Butcher guy. I don't know why. I just expected him to be a complete dumbass or something. You know what I mean? To put yourself through that, all that pain. But he was like really, really insightful about what he was doing, I guess. The fact that he knew he was going out there and just killing himself every night. And he knew that it was something that a lot of people would look down on him doing that. But he, the way that he put it being that he either had this or he could break his back in a sawmill and make like a quarter of what he's making doing this. I mean, you got to weigh the risks and the benefits, I guess. And that's what he was definitely doing.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, all these wrestling documentaries like this to me are fascinating. And, you know, I think that they did an excellent job with this one. Cinema Libre Studio. You can go to cardsubjectchange.com. The director, Tim Disbrow. It's yeah, they've got some interesting characters in there and people that you don't normally see in a lot of these documentaries either, which is refreshing.
So buy it.
You want to buy it? Buy it now! So, that is it, folks, for this week. I hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving. And we will be back in, I guess, 2 weeks, Uncle Bill, with something interesting.
We'll be back.
We should get an interview.
Yeah, we'll try. But interviews just seem like they're too much of a hassle right now.
Let's get an independent guy on.
You about have to, because the fucking guys that say they'll do it won't ever do it.
Let's get Jim O'Rear. Let's ask him what he did in Day of the Dead. I want to know.
Are you a 14 in Day of the Dead? Ain't no damn way. We'll try to get somebody for sure.
Yeah. Until then, Creep Kentuckian.
Uncle Bill.
You've been listening to the Ballers and Shock Callers of War Talk Radio over at DudePierce.com.